माधव कुंज बिहारी। गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवारधारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवारधारी। यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरात्मनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय प्रभु परा प्रभु परा प्रभु परा शिला प्रभु परा, जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजाचार्य अष्टोत्तर श्री श्रीमती श्रीमान ग्रह श्री भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की। जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजाचार्य अष्टोत्तर श्री श्रीमती श्रील भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी प्रभुपाद की। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की, नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की, प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास्तवादि गौर भक्त वृंद की, श्री हरिनाम संकीर्तन यज्ञ की, श्री श्री राधा माधव पंचतत्व की, श्री नरसिंह देव भगवान की, श्री गंगा माता की, जानु सप्तमी की, ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की, निदाय गौर प्रेमानंदे, ऑल ग्लोरियस असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरियस असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरियस असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरियस टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांग, ऑल ग्लोरियस टू श्रील प्रभुपाद। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 21, The Dynasty of Bharat, Text 1 to 6. First we'll read the summary of the chapter, then we'll go on to the verse. Before that, let us stand invocation prayers. ओम अज्ञानतिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानंजनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामय्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देहं श्रीगुरौ श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साक्षातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगण ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते, गोपेश गोपिकाकांत राधाकांत नमस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी, शुभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिय वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नम ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांता स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Chapter 21. The 21st chapter describes the dynasty born from Maharaj Bharat, the son of Maharaj Dushmanta, and it also describes the glory of Rantidev, Ajamit and others. The son of Bharadvaj was Manu, and Manu's son were Brihadrathra, Jay, Mahavirya and Garga. Of these five, Nara had a son named Sankriti, who had two sons named Guru and Rantidev. As an exalted devotee, Rantidev saw every living entity in relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore he completely engaged his mind, his words and his very self in the service of the Supreme Lord and his devotees. Rantidev was so exalted that he would sometimes give away his own food in charity, and he and his family would fast. Once, after Rantidev spent 48 days fasting, not even drinking water, excellent food made with ghee was brought to him. But when he was about to eat it, a Brahmana guest appeared. Rantidev therefore did not eat the food, but instead immediately offered a portion of it to the Brahmana. When the Brahmana left and Rantidev was just about to eat the remnants of the food, a Shudra appeared. Rantidev therefore divided the remnants between the Shudra and himself. Again, when he was just about to eat the remnants of the food, another guest appeared. Rantidev therefore gave the rest of the food to the new guest and was about to content himself with drinking the water to quench his thirst. But this was also precluded, for a thirsty guest came and Rantidev gave him the water. This was all ordained by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just to glorify his devotee and show how tolerant a devotee is in rendering service to the Lord. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, being extremely pleased with Rantidev, entrusted him with a confidential service. The special power to render the most confidential service is entrusted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to a pure devotee, not to ordinary devotees. Garga, the son of Bharadvaj, had a son named Shini, and Shini's son was Gargya. Although Gargya was a Kshatriya by birth, his sons became Brahmanas. The son of Mahavirya was Duritakshaya, whose sons were Trayaruni, Kavi and Pashkararuni. Although these three sons were born of a Kshatriya king, they also achieved the position of Brahmanas. The son of Brihadrathra constructed the city of Hastinapur and was known as Hasti. His sons were Ajamit, Dvimit and Purumid. From Ajamit came Priyamid and other Brahmanas, and also a son named Brihadishu. The sons, grandsons and further descendants of Brihadishu were Brihadhanu, Brihadkai, Jayadrath, Vishad, Senajit. From Senajit came four sons, Ruchirash, Dridhanu, Kashya and Vatsa. From Ruchi Rashva came a son named Para, whose sons were Prithusen and Neep. And from Neepa came 100 sons. Another son of Neepa was Brahmadatta. From Brahmadatta came Vishvaksena. From Vishvaksena, Udaksena. And from Udaksen, Bhallat. The son of Yavina was Yavinar. And from Yavinar came many sons and grandsons, such as Kritiman, Satyadhriti, Dhridhami, Shupashva, Sumanti, Sanatiman, Kriti, Neep, Udgrayud, Shemya, Suvira, Ripunjay and Bahurat. Purumid had no sons, But Ajami, in addition to his other sons, had a son named Neel, whose son was Shanti. The descendants of Shanti was Sushanti, Purujit, Ark, and Bharmyashva. Bharmyashva had five sons, one of whom, Mudgal, begot the dynasty of Brahmanas. Mudgal had twins, a son, Divodas, and a daughter, Ahalya. From Ahalya, by her husband, Gautam, Satanand was born. The son of Shatanand was Satyadhriti, and his son was Sharadvan. Sharadvan's son was known as Kripa, and Sharadvan's daughter, known as Kripi, became the wife of Dronacharya. So I'll quickly read from text 1 to text 5, then we'll recite text 6. Text 1. Shri Shuku Vacha Vitathasya Sutan Manya Prihat Shatra Jayasta Mahaviryo Narogarka Sankritistu Naratmaja. Shukadev Goswami said, because Bhardwaj was delivered by the Marut demigods, he was known as Vitatha. The son of Vitatha was Manyu, and from Manyu came five sons, Brihatshatra, Jaya, Mahavirya, Nar, and Garga. Of these five, the one known as Nar had a son named Sankriti. Text 2. Guruscha Ranti Devascha Sankrite Pandunandana Ranti Devasya Mahima Iha Mutra Chagiyate. O Maharaj Parikshit, descendant of Pandu, Sankriti had two sons named Guru and Rantidev. Rantidev is famous in both this world and the next, for he is glorified not only in human society but also in the society of demigods. Then text 3 to 5. Viyadvitasya dadato labdham labdham babukshata nishkinchanasya dhirasya shakuntam vasya sidata vyatiyorascha chatvarinchat ahani api batakila Gritapayana samyavam toyam pratar upasthitam kritra prapta kutumbasya shutrityam jata vepata atithi brahmana kale bhoktu kamasya chagamat. Rantidev never endeavored to earn anything. He would enjoy whatever he got by the arrangement of providence. But when guests came, he would give them everything. Thus he underwent considerable suffering along with the members of his family. Indeed, he and his family members shivered for want of food and water, yet Rantidev always remained sober. Once, after fasting for 48 days, in the morning, Rantidev received some water and some foodstuffs made with milk and ghee. But when he and his family were about to eat, a Brahmana guest arrived. Text 6. Tasmai Samya Bhajat Saha Annam Adritya Shraddhayanvita Harim Sarvatra Sampashyan Saha Bhuktva Trayayu Dvija Tasmai Samya Bhajat Sonam Adritra Shraddhayanvita Harim Sarvatra Sampashyan Sabhutva Prayayodvija Tasmai Samya Bhajat Sonam Adritya Shadhayanvita Harim Sarvatra Sampashyan Sabhutva Prayayodvija Tasmai Samya Bhajat Sonam Adritya Shadhayanvita Harim Sarvatra Sampashyan Sabhuktva Prayayodvija. Sampashyan Mothers, as my child at Sanam, I think word-winning translation and purport by His Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki Tasmai unto him the Brahmana Sanya Bhajat after dividing gave his share. Saha he Rantidev Annam the food Adritya with great respect Shataya Anvita and with faith, Harim, the Supreme Lord, Sarvatra, everywhere, or in the heart of every living being, Sampashyan, conceiving, Saha, he, Bhuktva, after eating the food, Prayayu, left the place, Dvija, the Brahmana. Translation. Because Rantidev perceived the presence of the Supreme Godhead everywhere and in every living entity, he received the guest with faith and respect and gave him a share of the food. The Brahman guest ate his share and then went away. Please repeat. Because Rantidev perceived the presence of the Supreme Godhead everywhere and in every living entity, he received the guest with faith and respect and gave him a share of the food. The Brahman guest ate his share and then went away. Purport. Rantidev perceived the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in every living being, but he never thought that because the Supreme Lord is present in every living being must be God. Nor did he distinguish between one living being and another. He perceived the presence of the Lord both in the Brahman and in the Chandal. This is the true vision of equality as confirmed by Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita 5.18. Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavihastini shuni chaiva shapakecha pandita samadarshina. The humble sage, by virtue of true knowledge, sees with equal vision a learned and gentle Brahman, a cow, an elephant, a dog and dog-eater, outcast. A pandit, a learned person, perceives the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in every living being. Therefore, although it has now become fashionable to give preference to the so-called Daridra Narayan or Poor Narayan, Rantidev had no reason to give preference to any one person. The idea that because Narayan is present in the heart of one who is Daridra or poor, the poor man should be called Daridra Narayan is a wrong conception. By such logic, because the Lord is present within the hearts of the dogs and hogs would also be Narayan. One should not mistakenly think that Rantidev subscribed to this view. Rather, he saw everyone as part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari Sambandhi Vastuna. It is not that everyone is the Supreme Godhead. Such a theory which is propounded by the Mayavad philosophy is always misleading, and Rantidev would never have accepted it. Tasmai samve bhajat so annam adritya shadayanvita harim sarvatra sampashyan sa bhuktva prayotvija. Because Rantidev perceived the presence of the Supreme Godhead everywhere and in every living entity, he received the guest with faith and respect and gave him a share of the food. The Brahman guest ate his share and then went away. Before beginning, I would like to express my gratitude for giving this, having this opportunity to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. Every time I speak on Srimad Bhagavatam, I certainly feel nervous because the subject matter is so great and the assembly of devotees are so exalted. So, yet it always gives an opportunity to dive deep into the subject matter. While preparing for the classes, what we would ordinarily absorb just by reading, and the absorption rate becomes many times higher. So I seek your blessings that I may speak something in the pure message of Parampara with pure intentions. Thank you. Here we see the another pastime from Srimad Bhagavatam is being started. The story, the exalted pastime and the glorious character of Maharaj Rantidev. We see in Srimad Bhagavatam, this is not the only place where the glories of Maharaj Rantidev is described. At various places throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, his example has been given. In the first canto, when the Brahmans were describing the glorious nature of Parikshit Maharaj to Maharaj Yudhishthir, they glorified him. They said, "Learned Brahman to Maharaj Yudhishthir about Parikshit Maharaj," they said, "this child will be as good as Lord Krishna, because he will follow in the footsteps of Lord Krishna. And in magnanimity, he will be as great as Maharaj Rantidev." Rantidev Ivadura, Udar. Udar means magnanimous. Then in second canto, when Lord Brahma is speaking to Narad Muni, he says, "O Narad, although the potencies of the Lord are unknowable and immeasurable, still, because we are all surrendered souls, we know how he acts through yoga maya potency." So Lord Brahma is saying, although Lord is inconceivable, yet how he acts through yoga maya potencies is known to us because we are his surrendered souls. And beside me, who else knows? He gives example of Lord Shiva, Prahlad Maharaj, Swayambhu Manu, Priyavat Maharaj, and he mentions the name of Maharaj Rantidev. And even Lord Krishna himself, in 10th canto, when they went and approached Jarasandha to challenge him, Lord Krishna, Bhima and Arjuna, they went and wanted a charity from Jarasandha to have a fight with Bhima. And there they said, Lord Krishna is speaking to Jarasandha. He says, "What can the tolerant not bear? What will the wicked not do? What will the generous not give in charity? And who will those of equal vision see an outsider?" And the Maharaj Jarasandha might be thinking, "What if you request my son, from whom separation would be intolerable?" So to this objection, Pandavas, Lord Krishna said, "For a tolerant person, nothing is intolerable." Then he again objected, "What if you ask to give my body or my precious jewels, which are meant to be given not to ordinary person but to my family members?" Then they said, "For the generous, what is not to be donated in charity?" Then again he had an objection, "For what if I am giving charity to my enemies?" Then Lord Krishna says, "One who has an equal vision, who else he doesn't see as an outsider." And then he went on to say, give an example of Maharaj Rantidev. He says, "He indeed is to be censured and pitied who, though able to do so, fails to achieve with his temporary body the lasting fame glorified by great saints." He gave an example that this body is temporary, but by using this temporary body, we can get eternal fame by giving in charity. And then he gives the example of Maharaj Rantidev, just to inspire Jarasandha to agree to give charity. But here in this chapter we see, in the previous verses, his glorious character is described so wonderfully by Shukdev Goswami. He says, what are his glories? He says, in the previous verses, Rantidev never endeavored to earn anything. He never made an endeavor. He completely, solely depended upon the will of the Lord. Whatever would come by providence, he would accept. Not only he would accept, whatever he would come, if anyone comes to seek charity, he will give everything to them. Are we reminded of any other example who completely dependent and lived such a life? Completely dependent upon the mercy of the Lord, not endeavoring anything to obtain any possession. Chandan Yatra is going. Hint. Madhvendra Puri. He would also not go and beg alms. he would only depend, whatever would someone would give in charity, he would accept. And not only any charity, he had this internal vow that if the food that is given is milk, only then he would accept. Otherwise he would not accept. So similarly here, but one can say Madhvendra Puri was a mendicant. But here the king, the royal order, Maharaj Rantidev, was living by such principles. Not only he himself was living, but his entire family was supporting him in this spirit. What was meant to be given and shared with his family, he was sharing with, he was giving in charity. And here we see Lord Krishna, to glorify his devotees, he gave a test to him. He fasted for 48 days, Nirjal fast. Once in a year we had Nirjal fast. That's the only time, you know, when some devotee realizes, someone's sharing that Krishna says, I'm the taste of water. You can have full realization on the Dwadashi of Nirjala Ekadashi. But here Maharaj Rantidev had fasted for 48 days without even water, and something was brought to him. Then a brahmana came. Without a slightest of reluctance, with a great magnanimity, without a slightest of hesitation, he gave his food. He divided and gave his food. Then again he wanted to eat. Then a shudra came to beg for charity. Now someone can say, king would give donation to or give charity to brahmanas. How would he act with shudra? But no, he had the equal vision. He would perceive the personality of God in everyone's heart, and thus he gave the food to shudra. Then after that, who came? Can someone maybe decrease the treble or increase the bass or decrease the volume? After that, a person came with his dogs and he gave food to him. And in the end, the chandal came. He says, Srila Prabhupada says, out of all outcasts, the lowest one is chandal. Chandal is someone who eats dogs. Out of all meat outcasts, these chandals were considered lower. He came. And he had only one glass of water that was remaining with him. And he was on the verge of death. If he won't drink, he won't survive. He gave that glass of water out of his pure compassion to chandal. And then they took their forms as demigods and they glorified Maharaj Rantidev. So imagine a person who is on the royal leader and a leadership setting such an example, having no facility for himself, and whatever was his in personal possession was giving, he was giving to the other person, because he would see the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He would completely depend upon Lord Krishna. If the leader of a state is having such a behavior, what kind of impact will he have on his subordinates? That comes in the next verses. What kind of influence Maharaj Rantidev had on his subjects? It said, all the devotees, all the persons in his kingdom became pure devotees just by the association of Maharaj Rantidev. And he said, Srila Prabhupada writes, if one is a pure devotee, his association can create thousands of other pure devotees. And he mentions about Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he writes a very interesting statement. Srila Prabhupada writes, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said that a Vaishnava is meritorious in proportion to the number of devotees he has created. A Vaishnava becomes superior not simply by jugglery of words, but by the number of devotees he has created for the Lord. And how many devotees Maharaj Rantidev created? Not only simple neophyte devotees. It's mentioned they were the best of the yogis. Everyone who followed the principles of Maharaj Rantidev, that is his family, his friends, his subjects in his kingdom, all became pure devotees just by seeing the example of Maharaj Rantidev. So how Maharaj Janti Dev could have such an impact on his subjects? A person's innermost mood is revealed through his prayers. When he had only one glass of water that was remaining with him, and a chandal came to beg for that water, he gave that water and he uttered a prayer. Now, if you want to know about a personality's nature, his innermost mood, and what kind of, we can always connect with what kind of prayers they are rendering, what kind of honest prayers they are rendering to the Supreme Lord. Or even if you have to know about any devotee, if you somehow come to know about his prayers or maybe read his Vyasa Puja offering, then you'll know the real, his real heart that he pours out in. So Maharaj Janti Dev, when he saw the chandal and his pitiable condition, and he had only one glass of water without which he would die, in such a condition, he became compassionate, seeing the condition of chandal. And he said, I do not pray to the Supreme Personality of Godhead for the 8 perfections of mystic yoga, nor for salvation from repeated birth and death. I want only to stay among all the living entities and suffer all distress on their behalf, so that they may be freed from suffering. By offering my water to maintain the life of this poor chandal who is struggling to live, I have been freed from all hunger, thirst, fatigue, trembling of the body, moroseness, distress, lamentation and illusion. So he says, I want, his only aspiration is to stay among living entities and suffer all distress on their behalf so that they may be freed from suffering. That he is praying to the Supreme Lord. And Srila Prabhupada mentions that similar mood was portrayed by Vasudev Dutt when he said, Jivera papalai mui kori narak bhog, sakala jivera prabhu guchai bhavarok. Jivera papalai mui kare narak bhog. Of all the jivas, whatever pap they have, let me take that pap on myself, my sinful activities on myself. So sakalera jivar prabhu guchai bhavrog, please free them from the bhavrog. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur makes a very interesting point. He said, the compassion and the advancement of a devotee like Vasudev Dutt and Maharaj Janti Dev, this shows they are 1,000 times more advanced than Lord Jesus Christ. What? Jesus Christ said, he would deliver anyone who will surrender to him or would follow him. But a Vaishnava like Vasudev Dutt and a Vaishnava like Maharaj Janti Dev, they don't even say that you follow me or surrender unto me. They simply just want to take the suffering of their living entities and suffer on their behalf and want that living entity to be freed from this bhavarog. Now, I am from communications person, so I am not wanted to create a controversy about Jesus Christ and saying his position, but this Srila Prabhupada himself mentions it. He always respected and always glorified him. But yet, at this prayers of Vasudev Dutt very specifically mentioned that this such a Vaishnava is not glorified only in this world, is glorified in this entire universe. And no one can match their compassion. And this says, by their transcendental presence, the whole world is glorified and all conditioned souls are glorified. And therefore, it said, now why Maharaj Janti Dev is exactly glorified for? For his charity? Certainly, he was charitable. Yet if you see in the entire Vedic civilization, the training is how to give. Right from the birth, from the old age, the whole training is how to give. That's why on every occasion, someone would call Brahmana and they would give charity. Or would give charity to people in general. Now contrast this with the modern civilization. The entire training from the birth to the old age is how to take. For example, if a child is celebrating birthday, he's very happy. Why he is happy? Because his only meditation is what gift will I receive today? But even 30, 40 years back, even in India, we would see the example. A young child, when his birthday, his parents would take him to certain pilgrimage, and he would be asked to go down to the superiors. They would give some gift to the child to give present to the other person. Another example, we see marriage. Nowadays, marriage, what will I get in the dowry along with the... And that's very prominent. So, but charity was emphasized in Vedic civilization. Yet, there's a difference between a mundane charity and charity given by Maharaj Rantidev. What is the difference? You see, in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto, there's a very unique example where a person gave charity. Who? Maharaj Mrig. He said, the amount of charity, the amount of cows he gave to the brahmanas were equal to the number of dust particle on this earth plus the number of stars in the sky plus the amount of rainfall that falls on the planet. That was the amount of charity that Maharaj Mrig gave to the brahmana. What charity? Not ordinary cows. The cows which were had given but one calf, they were young, they were full of milk. Their horns were embroidered with gold. Their feet were embroidered with silver. Their silk cloths, which was embroidered with pearls. And not only that, this charity was given to whom? Not to the worthless person. It was given to the first class brahmana, who were true to their vow of austerity, who were peaceful, who had equal vision. And not only cows, along with cows, Maharaj Mrig gave to the young brahmanas, those who were not married, he gave them wives, he gave them household furniture, he gave them gold, he gave them land, he gave them everything. Yet we see he became a lizard just by a slight amount of mistake in his charity. And here Maharaj Rantidev is also being glorified for his charity. But there is a difference. What is the difference? Certainly the charity should be given. Vedic civilization emphasizes a lot. But the context in which the charity is given is even more important. He saw the personality of Godhead in heart of every living entity. And he gave charity with the sole purpose to please Krishna. The basis of his charity was compassion. The basis of charity was not, okay, I'm giving charity, that's why I'm maintaining you. Sometimes there is temple construction, we go and we seek donations for the temple. And there are people who give donations with different mindset. That I'm giving donation because, okay, there are maybe poor people, let me give something, that I am the maintainer. Sometimes people come in, even in the temple of Lord Krishna, and there is a box written, donation box. But if you see, that it's, what can a person give donation to Lord Krishna? It's not actually a donation, it's an offering of love, or maybe you can call it as a tax. So if a person who goes to a husband of goddess of fortune, he says, okay, I want to give charity. That's not very appropriate. But the context in which Vedic civilization charity was given, it was given to purify oneself. It was given with the intention to please Lord Krishna, and that was called as yajna. And there are many different examples that we see in Srimad Bhagavatam about this principle of charity. Would anyone like to suggest some of the examples where they are glorified for the charity they gave for the purpose of pleasing Lord Krishna? Yes, Prabhu. Yes, a very prominent example we see, Dadichi Muni. What did he give in charity? His entire body. And there also, the instruction that he gave, something, this, anyway, this body will leave me. If I don't leave this body will leave me. Let me live in such a way that I can achieve the eternal abode of Lord Vishnu. What are other examples we see in our Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition? Yes, Prabhu. Bali Maharaj, he gave his own self-ego, which is the most difficult to give. He surrendered himself, Atmanivedanam. Any other examples? The examples came of Lord Chaitanya. He gave up his entire household life. He gave up his young wife. He gave up his old mother. Why? Out of compassion for the living entities. Just to distribute Krishna consciousness to others. The example comes of six Goswamis. They were the finance minister and prime minister of Bengal, and in those days Bengal was the richest state in the entire planet. They gave up their positions. Why? For Karuna, out of Karuna, for the living entities. What other examples? Our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada. It's said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when there is a pastime of churning of ocean, and the first thing that came out of that ocean was poison, and everyone was bewildered what to do with that poison. Then Lord advised them to request Lord Shiva, go in the shelter of Lord Shiva. And they went and pleased Lord Shiva. And when Lord Shiva took poison, he took poison which was spreading in the entire universe in his palm, and he drank that poison. And Sukhdev Goswamis, when he is narrating this pastime to Parikshit Maharaj, he says, he glorifies Lord Shiva, and he said to him, a very famous verse, Tripyante Loka Tapena Sadhava Prayaso Jana Param Aradhanam Taddi Purushya Akhilatmana. Purusha Akhilatmana Param Aradhana Taddi. The Akhilatmana, that is Supreme Lord, Param Aradhana, the best form of worship, worshipping Supreme Lord. What is the best form of worshipping? Tripyante Loka Tapena. It is said that the great personalities almost always accept voluntary suffering because of the suffering of people in general. This is considered the highest method of worshipping Supreme Personality of Godhead who is present in everyone's heart. So this is highest method of worshipping the Supreme Lord is to accept voluntary suffering because of the sufferings of people in general. That's the quality of great saints. And Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj shares in his one of the incidents in his I read this in the book Black Lotus. You know, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj and His Holiness Krishna Kshetra Maharaj, that time Krishna Kshetra Prabhu, they had made library team, and they were going from one library to other library in one country to another country to install the entire sets of Srila Prabhupada books. And the situation would be so risky sometimes. In some of the countries, it was completely illegal to do any such thing. But yet Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was so bold and compassionate, he would always push Krishna Kshetra Prabhu, let's go and let's see if something happens. So they went in one of this building, and they would just simply bypass the reception, would see any professor who opened the door and would enter that room. And Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj had a very unique style of presentation. And as soon as they would enter the room, because they had no prior appointment with that person, he would immediately start giving a presentation about who they are and what they are selling. So they went in one of the such college, university, and one of this room. And that professor said, he became very interested. And he said, he saw what they are doing, and he said, I'm not interested in this book, but I know one professor who would be very interested in this subject matter. And they were very happy, and he directed them, go to this next building on the first floor. So immediately they left, they went into that building, and they went into that classroom and opened that door. And Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, as usual, he had a style. He would immediately enter and start giving his presentation. After 1 or 2 minutes, they saw there's something wrong. Then they realized that they are not with a professor but with the university police. And they have very easily fallen into the trap of that professor. And Krishna Kshetra Prabhu was meditating for how long, how many years we would be put into the jail. But Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, although he realized what is happening, without skipping a beat, he carried on over his presentation. And when he stopped, and then they came to know that's university police, he immediately started saying, oh, there are so many countries, we go from one country to another country, and there are so many international laws, and breaking the law of your country would be the last thing on our mind. And he had such a magnanimous smile. So he was allowed to let go. But there were incidents like this when he was going and preaching in communist countries. One time, you know, he was selling his books. And how they would sell books? They would handprint and they would make books at their own places and they would go out to distribute books with no guarantee that the devotee would return back that evening. And KGB would not be in their uniforms. They would be in civilian uniforms. So any person whom they approach for distributing book, if he is a KGP, jail. And Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj still was taking risk and giving this book to those gentlemen. And he saw one gentleman is following him. And he started moving fast. And that gentleman also started moving fast. And he came to know that now this is KGP. Is approaching him. And he started running. And that KGP agent also started running. And he entered into university. He also entered into university. And he entered into a lawn. He saw there is a door to the right. And he immediately entered into that door. And there was a professor. And he said yes. And because there was KGP agent. But even in that consciousness, he showed he had a pamphlet. He showed his the pamphlet and distributed the one entire set of Srila Prabhupada books in that condition. And if you have read the book Salted, and I'm telling this, then they returned, and somebody told them it was September 1977. When they came to their temple, somebody told them Srila Prabhupada is in London, and they both became shocked because everyone throughout the whole world, everyone was. By informed that Prabhupada is in Vrindavan and everyone was expecting he would depart at any other time. So they immediately packed their bags and ran for London to be with Srila Prabhupada. And when they went there, the Tamalkrishna Maharaj saw that Ghanshyam Prabhu has come and he knew that Prabhupada would be very pleased to meet. And when Prabhupada was informed that Ghanshyam Prabhu has come, Prabhupada immediately called for him. And Ghanshyam Prabhu started giving his report of his preaching in communist countries. And he would describe to Prabhupada how in that place there were shops in which there were huge queues just to get little bread. And there was such a scarcity of food. Now in this is September 97, Srila Prabhupada himself was in that condition. As soon as he heard that, he started crying. And he, out of his immediate immense compassion, that people who are, these leaders who are atheistic, due to them, the whole people are suffering just for the basic want of food. And when Ghanshyam Prabhu, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, saw the tears in the eyes of Srila Prabhupada at that instant, he realized here is a person who himself is on the verge of leaving the body, and yet in that condition, is thinking about the welfares of other. So we see this example of Srila Prabhupada, how he traveled, had 2 heart attacks on board. He gave up his entire life just to benefit others. And not only Prabhupada. We see this entire ISKCON movement is built on based upon the sacrifice of Prabhupada disciples. Wonder and took such risk. What kind of risk? It said in a salted bread, how they would be put into the jail, they would be tortured. This entire episode, how not only they lived, they died in the process of distributing Krishna consciousness to others. So we see this example throughout Srimad Bhagavatam. The best form of worshipping is to take sufferings on oneself on behalf of others, to give them Krishna consciousness. We see from the life of Maharaj Shantidev, we see from the life of Srila Prabhupada, his disciples. Yet, when I would hear such pastime and when I would hear such examples, oftentimes I would become frustrated and morose. Why? Because the standard that has been set is so high. Or sometimes I would feel everywhere they're talking about suffering on the behalf of others. I don't want to suffer. I want to live happily in Krishna consciousness and share that happily. So what does it mean to be suffering? What practically we can implement from their lives, the examples? So certainly these examples are not meant to discourage us or frustrate us. Certainly they are meant to inspire us to lead a life of selflessness. And I would conclude just by a few thoughts about, I was meditating on what practical I can implement from the life of Maharaj Jantidev. The first is, the principle of satisfaction. He was always dependent upon the mercy of Supreme Lord. So, in whatever condition I am, if I practice to lead a life without any complaints. One time there was a senior brahmachari was giving a class in our temple, a guest speaker, and we asked him, you have spent 20 years in ashram, can you tell just one secret, what sustained you throughout your entire spiritual life? And he gave one answer. He says, no complaint. In whatever condition of life you are, don't complain. Just accept it with gratitude. So maybe have a 21-day practice, 21 day, if not 21 days, 14 days, if not 14, 7 days, if not 7 days, try to lead a life for one day, where we lead a life, at least that one day, where we don't complain about anything. We don't complain about the hot weather, we don't complain about anything that's going wrong in ISKCON or with the other person or even with myself. The only thing that I will accept everything as the mercy of Lord, I'll depend upon Him and I'll share His mercy with others. So we can practice being grateful, gratitude in all condition and not complaining. That's one thing I could make out. Second, to hear such pastimes again and again. What defines culture? The culture of any community or any organization is defined by what? It is defined by the narratives and the stories that are being widespread in that community. So we have stories from Srimad Bhagavatam and this sets a very high value system. So again and again, hearing them, just by hearing and meditating on these personalities, we develop such qualities. And third thing, that here Maharaj Jantidev did not distinguish between Brahmana. He was having an equal vision. He did not distinguish between Brahmana, Shudra, Chandal. He gave his mercy equally to everyone. So one of the things, we can distribute Krishna consciousness without any external judgment. Let me give book to him. He may become life member. He will give donation, only then I'll say Hare Krishna to him or I'll approach him. That's okay. I mean, for efficiency, if your time and resources are limited, we want to be efficient and approach those who are more favorable. But some part should be reserved where without any external label or judgment, pure selflessly, we are distributing Krishna consciousness through holy names, books or prasad without any discrimination. And even within ISKCON community, that without any apparent discrimination, who is in saffron, who is in white, who is giving class, a Prabhu or Mata or a Sannyasi or any sort, he's Indian or he's international, he's black or white, without any such, you know, external judgment, let me give my honor and respect to them. And that is why Srila Prabhupada incorporated this thing in our morning program. When we says, Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha, Kripa Sindhu Bhayavacha, Patita Nam Pavnebhya, Vaishnavebhya Namana, to everyone equally in the temple hall. So these were my few thoughts about the glories of Maharaj Shantidev. I would like to stop here. Today is Janu Saptami also. Today is the day when Janu Muni swallowed Ganga when Maharaj Bhagirath was taking Ganga to get his ancestors delivered, and he prayed to Janu Muni, and Janu Muni released the Ganga, and that the entire pastime took today, and Janu Dweep, we every time visit Navdeep Mandal, and there's so many glories of Mother Ganga we could speak about. Even Lord Chaitanya glorified Mother Ganga in his Chaitanya Bhagavat, so many pastimes come. So today is the day when we can remember also Janu Muni and the glory of Mother Ganga, that Ganga is, and specifically in Mayapur, so near to us. So today is the day many devotees go and bathe in Ganga and worship Ganga, and they remember Janu Dweep and Janu Muni and this entire glorious pastime. So I would like to stop here. If anyone has any question or comments, I'm free to welcome. Thank you. Yes, brother. Can someone please pass on the mic if we have one?
This is just a quick comment. You were mentioning Bhakti Tirtha and how he raced to see Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was crying when he was hearing about the endeavor that Bhakti Tirtha was doing, risking his life to distribute these books. And so tomorrow it arranged for Bhakti Tirtha to show up the next day.
Yeah.
You know this one because you're quoting it. This is an important part because this is the most important instruction that Bhakti Tirtha ever got from Srila Prabhupada. So Bhakti Tirtha was sitting down in front of Srila Prabhupada reading this report of all the books that were going out that he had done and all the places he'd been. And he looked up and Srila Prabhupada wasn't even listening to what he was talking about. He was actually talking to the girl, the Mataji, who was cleaning his desk. So Bhakti Tirtha said, keep reading, and he's looking up and Prabhupada's totally ignoring him. So he thought, he looked at Tamal Krishna and they both kind of went, okay, don't worry about it, let's go. So they got up to walk out. And Prabhupada said to them, you are not the doer. And Bhakti Tirtha said afterwards, he says, that was the most important instruction I ever got. Because I'm doing all these things, it sounds so wonderful. But in my heart, I had a little bit of, aren't I wonderful? And so Prabhupada wanted to fix that before he left, because Bhakti Tirtha was a very, very special devotee. And so that was actually his last instruction and most important one.
Now, the earlier day, Prabhupada patted on his hair. He said, your life is a success. This is parampara system to imbibe them. Next day, you are not the doer. Krishna said, yeah. Thank you. Yes, Prabhupada.
You said that we should try not to complain, and we noticed that great devotees who go back to Godhead, they don't spend their time complaining about things. It had the tendency to get involved with issues that aren't really our business, but it's a very strong tendency to do so and get distracted from our own personal development. Like, when you were reading the summary, I was reading, this devotee had another version of, there were so many things different that you're reading and he was reading. So, you know, the mind starts thinking, well, what's going on here? Who's changing the books? And you feel like, you know, getting involved, like, you know, what? The whole issue, you know, what is every time the books get imprinted, is it going to be a new edition? How many changes can they make and still call them Prabhupada's books? And you get off in the whole, off in into an issue, you know, and but how can we get keep confined within our, you know, what's actually important for making us Krishna conscious rather than, you know, becoming diverted by, like what you said about things that people complain about.
Actually, I was about to conclude with this question, was throwing this question about the audience, if you would not have asked, what is the difference between depending upon the Lord and becoming irresponsible? By all modern context, if we see Maharaj Rantidev, he was not earning anything, he was depending upon the Lord and he was maintaining his family. So someone becomes irresponsible and says, I am depending upon the Lord, I am trying to follow the example of Maharaj Rantidev. So how would we distinguish between the irresponsible behavior and this complete dependence upon the Lord? That was my plan to conclude with this question for your meditation. Yet to the question you have asked, yesterday we were in the meeting conference room where the GBC take place, and there are 10 principles of meeting there. And one of the principle was, for any issue or complaint, I would approach the right person and would share with them. And I would not spread the same things in the entire community. So, certainly are more pretty experienced and qualified to give answer to this question. Yet my own thoughts on this, that if we have a certain influence on the issue, yet we can go and approach the right place and report that issue if that is, or if you are becoming concerned, we can take some action and initiate that. Yet there is a difference between doing that out of the complete negative energy with the complaining mode and doing the same thing from the place of service, from the place of making a positive impact on them. I think these two are very different things. The intention is very, very important. See, Maharaj Rantidev also gave charity and other persons also gave charity, but the intention with which they give charity, that defines the entire thing. And similarly, any work becomes yajna. What makes a work yajna? The intention. So that's why. Thank you. Granth Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande.